physically or something, but you may lost your place, you may lost your joy, you may lost your right as a believer if you are not properly informed. The basis of the new creation church is knowledge. God does not build people basically on talent. He built people using knowledge. And so where knowledge is lacking, wisdom is lacking. Where wisdom is lacking, struggle is inevitable. I'm going to repeat that again. Where knowledge is lacking, wisdom is lacking. And where wisdom is lacking, struggle is inevitable. Struggle is inevitable. And so the church is being attacked from everywhere on social media. The church, people are throwing for attacks of words, strong words on the church. And not only that, figures of faith, fathers of faith, especially in Nigeria, are being insulted, being molested on social media. They put their picture, you know, and but my big concern is this, that even believers that should stand against this are the ones throwing stones. Believers, pastors alike, are throwing accusation on the church. I've never seen in all of my life as a believer, as like where I'm seeing today, how the church has been insulted, the church has been attacked. I've never seen. And I've never seen any religious organization, not even Islam, being insulted like this. You will never, no matter what happened, a Muslim will say no. He will never come to you as a believer and attack Islam. They would rather go within themselves, solve issues. The Bible says to learn from the fig tree. How comes? What is happening in the body of Christ? And so I took my time to go back again. You know, if I want to take a study on something, I will approach it like a baby, as if I don't know anything on that issue. And so I've reserved my comments, my opinion, to take time to study, and I've studied, I'm still studying, because I'm going to, in fact, the message God is giving me, I'm going to put it on the internet. I'm going to make it go viral. God has given me a message concerning this issue, and I believe it will shut out the mouth of the gainsayers. The Bible says you should be sound. Be sound. Be grounded, so that when you speak, you will speak as an oracle, and you will shut the mouth of the gainsayers. That's one thing we have not been doing in the church. The church has not been studying. That's the truth. Believers in Nigeria, we don't study. So anybody can just stand up, look for 1, 2, 3 scriptures and put on the internet and confuse believers. Tossed around. Somebody say, that the freeze is a pastor. I enjoy him. He does. He say, if you see the way he analyzes the scripture, because you yourself, you don't know the scripture. And so still on, I'm going to put it under the subject or the theme that we started last week. Understanding the blessings. Say after me, say understanding the blessing. Say louder, say understanding the blessing. The question I asked last week, for those of us who were not here last week, I'm going to ask it again. What is the blessing? You know, many of us, we talk about, you see, the blessing of Abraham. And so in our head, when we say the blessing of Abraham, we think about cattle, we think about goats. Abraham have plenty. Cows, he had plenty rams. No, that is not the blessing. Those are the effects of the blessing. Subjectively, we can call them blessings. Hello? Objectively, it is the blessing. When you say subjectively in English, it means, in other words, you can put it, you can interpret it not in the actual context. So subjectively, we can call them blessings. Blessings are things. Blessings are things. Car, things, material, blessings, things. I built house. Unbelievers built houses. They build houses. Cars, I have a car. I have a new phone, iPhone 7 are things. That is not the blessing. That is not the blessing. Unbelievers have it. If you call that the blessing, what is the difference between you and unbelievers? The blessing is what was given to Abraham in John, Genesis chapter 15. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, Apostle Paul speaking, he said, the blessedness of the man whose iniquity is not recorded for him, his faith has been counted for him as righteousness. Praise God. Am I communicating to you this morning? We saw in Proverbs chapter 22, chapter 10 and verse 22, he said, the blessings of the Lord maketh riches, and added, it is the blessing. Underline it. The blessing. Only the blessing that makes. It means as a believer, all you need to make you whatever you are going to be in life came upon you the day you got the blessing, the day you came into Christ. And what is the blessing? We don't say what the blessing. We say who is the blessing? The blessing is the person, and the person is Christ. And the day you came into Christ, you were made. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready made. Not ready made. Say ready made. As you are now, as you are seated. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, for you have been blessed, pastors, with all spiritual blessings. The day you say, how many of you can remember your date of birth in Christ? Few of us can. So many of us have forgotten. The real birthday has overtaken that one. But that day you said, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, was the day you entered into the blessing, because you met a man that day, and the man is the reason we are blessed. Am I communicating? Let the blessed shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, in the light of this, I want you to know that what we own or what we don't own materially does not define us. I have a car. Car does not define you. I have my house. A house does not define you. I have Gucci. Is it Gucci or Gucci? Gucci. Hey, praise God. I have Gucci. iPhone 7 does not define you. Galaxy does not define you. Do you know how many people gave out their virginity for BB? That's not what. Why? Because they were looking for definition. What define you is not things. What define you is a person. What define you is knowing who you are in that person. Christ Jesus. And so this is what I want to do. I want your mind to shift from things to him. Because when you come into him, everything follows. He said, I know that all these things that the Gentiles seek, you need them. Of course. We are not saying, you should be poor or you should not have the best of phones, the best of clothes. No. God said, I know you need these things. He said, but listen. He said, seek first the blessing and every other thing. Then things will follow. Things. Things are the material things that people now pursue instead of following the main thing. We pursue things. You wonder why people are doing yahoo yahoo. Tell me why. They want to buy a car. Wear best of clothes. That's just the reason. Eat in the best restaurant. That is just things. Why do people do rituals? Why? I want to have 3 cars. That's just the things. But as a believer, the Bible said, do not let this thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, charge them that are rich in this world to be rich unto the Lord. Let them not allow mammon. Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. You cannot serve two masters. It means there are two masters on earth, God and mammon. If you are not a true servant of God, you are serving mammon. Everybody will wake up in the morning pursuing something. M-O. When I was still working in bank, one of our boss used to come and tell us that you don't know what you are dealing with. What everybody saw. She will say to us, some people wake up 3 a.m. because of what you are toiling with. Hit the road looking for one thing. Money. Why? Because they believe money gets all things. But listen to me, money cannot give you joy. Oh, glory to God. He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. David said, take away. Kini Davidi oni, but he lost his joy when he lost divine presence. Restore unto me the joy of the blessing. Salvation. That's where joy comes from. Where even though you don't have things, yet you still have joy on the inside of you. There's difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is what you see that makes you happy. Things. Joy is even when those things are not there, there is a bubbling of joy on the inside of you. People don't know why you are not sick. You are not emaciating. Say after me, say joy. The interest of God is that we should be very rich as believers. Yeah, that's what God wants. He wants you to be. He wants you to live in material wealth. Because Jesus lived actually here on earth, having everything he wanted. And so he wants you to live the same way. And so we must be careful not to fall. There are ditches of errors in the both side. When we talk about giving prosperity and blessings, people fall into either side of the ditch of error. Some people believe believers should not be rich. They believe poverty is piety. Meaning, piety means to be pious, to love God, to serve God. They have equated Christianity with poverty. That's why some churches, you must not use a Rolex. I mean, you use a shoe that has gold on it. You don't try it because they believe you should look poor. Don't buy big things. In fact, don't do anything so that you can get to heaven. While some have gone to the extreme, and they have defined that spirituality is actually in the measure of material prosperity. So you must be careful not to fall on the both side of these ditches of errors. Where some people have taken the only definition they have for Christianity is material wealth. And that's what you see in the church today, even among ministers. Everybody running. They know it's not how they get it now. They just come. God has done it. How did he do it? Nobody cares. Last week I told you about process. I say God respect process because everything he did has process. God did not just start giving result. He had process for everything. And that's why you have to plant. The plant will take a time, grow, process. Praise God. Meanwhile, that is not the main issue today. The main issue is about giving in the new creation church. You will all agree with me. Some of you by now have a change of mind about how you give to God. Because already your mind is being tossed around. You don't even know. Somebody who in the first place is not even willing to give. And now he has got an opportunity on the internet. He's been able to see one or two people who don't even understand scripture themselves. Have been able to. So they just hold back their money. In the first place they were not even willing to give. Praise God. Now, I want us to start from where the controversy actually started from. There's something we call the law of the first mention. When there's an issue. Now, I'd like you to know, I really took my time studying. I've been studying about this for over a week. Over a month now, I've been studying. Since when this issue started, I started studying. And I took a study again. And I woke up 2 a.m. this morning. I slept about past 6. Studying on this issue. Please, anything I say, write it and go and check the scriptures. Don't say, our pastor, go and check the scriptures for yourself to find out what is right. Because many of you hear things and you don't find out what is right. You say, you go and repeat the same thing because you don't even know where the person got it from. Who is he directing it to and what he meant by what he's saying. Praise God. Now, where does tithing start from? Let's answer that question. Ask your neighbor. The issue of tithe, where did it start from? Ask your neighbor. Oh my God. Praise God. Now, tithe started in Genesis chapter 14. Give me Genesis chapter 14 and from verse 18. Genesis 14. We are going to spend much time today in church studying because I want us to go. This is a seminar. This is a lecture. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. But this is important for me. I don't want a distraction of any kind today. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. Do you know why? This issue is a very sensitive issue today. And I want you to be clear. As a member of this church, anywhere you go, I want you to know what is right. You may not be here tomorrow. But anywhere you are, anytime, I want you to be informed. And Meshizah, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Is this thing, is bread and wine, is it familiar to you? Bread and wine. What is that? Communion. That is familiar, right? And he was the priest of the Most High God. This happened 400 years before the law was given to the children of Israelite through Moses about tithing and offering. Given verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, this goes back to the blessing I'm talking about. The person called Melchizedek was given a clearer, his profile and his description was given to us clearer in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Because of time, we may not go there. Hebrews chapter 7 describes him as a priest of the Most High God, who has no beginning, who has no end. He does not have father, he does not have mother. The Bible calls him the prince, the king of Salem. Hello? Who does that describe? Jesus. Now, the Bible says this Melchizedek brought bread and wine unto Abraham. It means Abraham partook of the body, because when Melchizedek brought somebody that does not have beginning and does not have end, where did he get bread and wine? So it is a type of the communion that Jesus said, this is my body. It means Abraham actually received the gospel the way we receive it today. And I will prove that to you. Give me Galatians chapter 3. I'm from verse 8. Please follow me attentively. Galatians 3, I'm from verse 8. Quickly. Galatians 3, I'm from verse 8. I want us to go take our time. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham. The gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Gospel is good news. What is good news? Good news is the salvation of God through Christ. That is the gospel. It means practically, this same gospel we hear today that we receive by faith, and through this faith we get righteousness, was given to Abraham. That was why the Bible said Abraham's, after this gospel was preached unto Abraham, he believed, and by believing it was counted unto him as righteousness. That's why Abraham is called the father of faith. So Abraham had the gospel. Now, if you look at Genesis 14 that we just read, nobody asked Abraham of tithe. Nobody asked him. In fact, Melchizedek was coming to give him communion. He came to bless him. He was not coming actually to take anything. The way Christ came, not to take anything from us, but to give. You see, most often when you say, I give my life to Jesus, the Bible says you were dead. What life did you give? Instead, you received life. You didn't give any life. I have given my life. Mm-mm. It was his life you collected. Your life was useless. Your life means nothing. The Bible says you were dead. As you were knowing. It said, we're all dead. Go and read Colossians chapter 3. You will see it. We're corpses. So, what life does a dead person has? So, instead, Melchizedek. So, Abraham responded to him was an it was an act of faith. Faith as a response to the love of God through Melchizedek. 400 years before the law. As I was studying, I discovered that it took 400 years between Malachi and the New Testament, where Jesus spoke about it. 400 years. I'm trying to study numbers in the Bible. Until I'm done with that, I'll come and explain that to you. Praise God. This happened. The question is this. Did tithing stop here? Who else paid tithe or talked about tithe? Give me Genesis Genesis 28 and from verse 10. Let's read. Make it quick. Genesis, because of time, please make it. I need you to be apt in listening. Listen with your inner ears. Give me Genesis 18 and verse 19. Let me show something. Genesis 18 and verse 19. 18:19. He said, "For I know him," look up everybody, "that he will command his children and his household after him." Look at this. Abraham, God was speaking about Abraham. He said, God said, "I know Abraham. Everything Abraham practiced, he will teach his children." Hello. It means when Abraham gave tithe, he taught Isaac about tithe. He taught Jacob about tithe. How do we know? I'm going to show you. And it's also, "And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken." Give me, now go to Genesis 28 and from verse 20. "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying," now this is how we know that Abraham actually taught his children. You know, Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac gave birth to Jacob. Now, you see, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will give and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on." Let's go. Verse 21. "So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord my God," yes, let's go, "and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee tenth." Now, God did not ask Jacob for 10%. Under pressure, he was coming from his father's house. Esau was chasing him. And so he had a revelation. And so he now said, "God, if this vision I am seeing, this dream, if it come to pass, I will give you." Now, how did he know about 10%? He was taught by his father and his grandfather. Am I communicating? Did God ask him? Did God say, "Jacob, I will bless you if you do 10%? No. He vowed. This is a vow. Say, "If out of everything God give me, I'll give 10%. The question I want to ask you: did Jacob ever present any 10% to God? No. There was no place in the Bible where Jacob gave 10%. And so Jacob came to God thinking he could use 10% to get God. Am I communicating? Now, Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob gave birth to Reuben, Judah, mentioned them, Joseph and all that, Benjamin. Now, the same vow this man made was what God demanded from his children to pay tithe. It became a regulation. It became a statute because their father vowed to God. And listen, when you say a word before God, don't just think you have just... That was why Ecclesiastes chapter 5 said, "Be careful when you are in God's presence what to say." That was why it became a law to his children to pay tithe. Because their father said, "I will give 10 of everything." And what was the law? They must tithe 10% of even their sons. According to one, they will give it as first fruit. 10% of everything. So it became a law unto them. Now listen, Abraham did not vow. Abraham did it. Jacob vowed and did not do it. God actually blessed him. But there was no place where the Bible said, and he brought 10 to God, 10% of all that God gave him. There was no place like that. Because I did not hear that any priest received 10% from Jacob. I didn't hear that. I didn't see that in the Bible. Praise God. Now, do you know what? I want you to see this through the scriptures. I'm going to take you through everywhere the Bible talks about tithe. So that anywhere you can talk to, even any pastor is confused, you can say, "Excuse me," you will do like Aquila and Priscilla that took Apollo and sat him down. You will excuse the pastor and say, "Can I share with you?" You won't say, I want to teach you. Can I share with you? Am I communicating? Now, we have seen some foundation of where tithe came from and what tithe is all about. From faith. Before, and we have seen how from faith, tithe became a law. 400 years the children of Israelites were commanded. They were commanded to give tithe because they will only be blessed according to the obedience of tithing and offering. So their blessing was based upon giving tithe. It became a requirement for them to be blessed. Why? Their father vowed. So it became a law that if you don't tithe, you will live in abject poverty. It became a law unto them. Now, let's address Malachi. Malachi is this core controversial scripture today that we have. Give me Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8. Malachi has been a serious scripture that has caused controversy. Now, before we go into Malachi, let me quickly tell you this. The Israelites gave three types of tithes. There were types of tithe in the Bible. Number one, the tithe that they gave only to the Levites. They tithe that from every of their income. And that tithe belong only to who? Say after me, say Levites. Levite. Say it after me, say Levites. Levite. Only to the Levites. You will see that in the scriptures. I'll come to that. I'll show you that. But I just want us to take this gradually. I want to be sure I'm not missing any part of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The second tithe that they give to orphans. They take that. You will see that in Genesis, Deuteronomy chapter 14. We are coming to that. We are coming to that. Don't worry. I'm just giving you this as a prerequisite. They give to widows, fatherless and orphans. That tithe, they take that tithe every three years. Every three years is when they take that tithe. Every three years, the Israelites will take from the 3 years of all their incomes, they will take a tithe for the widows. That is the one some people took and brought it on social media. That tithe is supposed to be for orphans, not for Levites or for the church or for pastors. They brought that out of context. Be careful the way you broadcast half-truth. When you don't have a complete truth, you hear somebody say something, the next thing you go and say it. So the third type of tithe was the one they used for celebration. There's a tithe where they will bring all that they have. All that they have, they will bring 10% of it and it will be part of their celebration. It will form part of what the Israelites. That was where the one that the priest referred to, that you should eat your tithe. Three types of tithe. If you put all this together annually or in every 3 years, the Israelites are supposed to give 23%. In fact, to redeem, if you are supposed to bring 10% of your harvest of corn and you could not bring it, when you want to redeem it into money, you will bring 15% instead of 10. Let's assume you sell banana and you want to bring 10% of the banana. You are supposed to bring 10% of your harvest because the fuel scarcity or the place is too far from where you are living. And so, you will want to use money according to the law. I'm going to show you scriptures after because this is teaching to inform you. You are supposed to pay 15%. Say after me, say 15%. Now, the controversial scripture. Let's look up. Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. Now, start from verse 6. I want to bring something from there. Start from verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Mark, I change not. Mark it in the scripture, in your Bible. I'm coming there. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Give me verse 6. Okay, give me verse 8 because of time. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes, read it, in tithes. The question I want to ask,
Why is tithe the issue? It's supposed to be tithe and offering. The controversial issues, okay, we are talking about the law said that we are not cursed when we don't pay tithe. Here, it's not talking only about tithe. It means in church today, we are not supposed to pay offering. We are not supposed to pay tithe. So, for you to pick only tithe and start attacking tithe, it means you are suffering from ignorance. You don't really understand the context of the scripture. Because God was talking about robbery, tithe, and offering. So, for somebody to pick up tithe and start attacking tithe, I said, no, we are not under the law. Under the law was when offering was given. Listen. Offering came as a law, not only tithe. So if you say we are not under the law, we are under grace dispensation, it means both offering and tithe that came under the law should not be practiced in the New Testament church. Hello. Now, if somebody say tithe, show him the offering part and say, explain to me, this offering was given as a law to the children of Israelite. They give off. Offering of fruit, offering of so many things. There's no time. I will take you through all that later. There's no time to explain that now. Give me verse 9. Now, why did God have to pronounce this through Malachi? If you look at all the places God commanded them that they should pay tithe, in most of those places, there was no place where they were threatened with curse. They were only commanded to pay tithe. They gave them the regulation. Why did God tell them? Now, many of us have said something before. We say, and God cursed Adam. How will God curse him and still cover him with skin? I mean, if you curse somebody, you should chase him away. God did not curse Adam. He didn't curse Eve. He told them the consequence of what they have done. The same thing here. God said, if you don't pay because of the vow Jacob has made, if you don't pay, now, it became a regulation and a requirement for them to be blessed. God is now saying, because this tithe and offering is the basis at which I bless you materially, if you don't pay it, this will be the consequence. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even... He was talking about the whole nation. What happened? When in the last... Malachi happens to be the last prophet God sent to the Israelites. As at that time, they have gone wild to a point that nobody pays tithe again. The Levite now left the temple and started going to farm. There was no pastor again. That's the meaning. The Levite left the church and went to the farm. So nobody to watch the fire that should be burning in the temple. Nobody to take care of widows in the temple again. Everybody was out chasing money like we have in our society today. There was a rush for money. So God said, something is wrong here. Now, give me verse 10, quickly. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes. This proved to you what I said, that the tithe is not one type. Hello? The children of Israelite were not paying one type of tithe. They pay a tithe annually to the Levite that belongs only to the Levite. They pay another tithe. They are different tithes. That's why it says all tithes. Please, when you study the scripture, study with context. Not at the back of your mind, at the front of your mind. Look at it contextually. Tithes. Look at the words, the pronoun. So, the third type of tithe is the tithe in Deuteronomy 14 that they use as a support for their celebration, which they say you can use part of that tithe and eat it and drink wine. Somebody brought that and hit the internet and say, in fact, 10% should be, you should stay in your house and eat it and take some bottle of good. They pay three types of tithes. So they were not paying 10% annually. They were paying about 23%. Because a particular tithe goes to the orphans, to the widows, and to the fatherless. Now look, into the stores that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now where herewith, said the Lord of hosts. I will if I will not open the now, they are blessed based on the faithfulness to tithe.
under the law, the dispensation of the law. It is when they are faithful to this that the heavens is open upon them. Praise God. And pour out blessing that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Praise the Lord. This was their experience. It was this prophecy that closed the scripture. Old Testament. It was this prophecy that ended. Now, between Malachi and Matthew, the incarnation, the synoptic gospel, for another 400 years. I told you, I said, 400 years before, tithe was mentioned. 400 years later, they practice it. Now, the dispensation of Moses, I can't remember how many centuries it took. But I understand by the scripture that the children of Israel were in Egypt for about over, they were supposed to be there for 400, but they were there for over 400 years. So it means, after within that 400 years, and Moses stepped in, was the 400 years between the tithing as act of faith and tithing as act of law. So between Moses and Malachi, I can't give you the accurate number present. Between Malachi and Matthew was another 400 years. Now, after that place, where else did the Bible talk about tithe? Am I communicating? So, the issue now is not about tithe alone. Offering too was a law. Yeah, it was done under the law. It was the law given to them. They were supposed to, it was supposed to be the prerequisite for their blessing. Now, we are now going to the incarnation. Now, many of us have been taught that the New Testament started from Matthew. The New Testament did not really start from Matthew. The New Testament started from the book of Acts. Because testament means covenant. And covenant cannot be sealed or cut without a blood. So covenant was, the new covenant was cut or was established by the blood of Christ. So there was no new covenant until Christ died and resurrected. Hello? And so, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was an account of the incarnation of, what is incarnation? Jesus in the human body. God in the human body was an account. So, the New Testament began actually after resurrection. Now, another place where tithe was mentioned is Matthew 23 and verse 23. Let's look at it quickly. Give me that in another version, not in King James version, or I should read from here. The Living. You have the Living Bible, right? Let me read it. Let us all get there first. The Living Bible. Yes. 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 You should tithe. Yes. Important thing. Now, sit down. Many people have said, Jesus condemned tithe. I heard him earlier. I see a lot of things on the social media. Jesus did not say we should pay tithe. Now, of course, what I want to establish here is this. Jesus did not rebuke the Israelites, I mean the Pharisee and the Sadducee, for not paying tithe. He rebuked them. He said, though you pay tithes. The same thing, Prophet Amos did the same thing. He said, you people bring tithes, you bring offerings. He said, but you have the most important thing, which is righteousness. You don't work with it. Prophet Amos made the same prophecy to them. If you read somewhere in Amos chapter 4 or thereabout. Now, he now said to them, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you pay tithe of mint, dill, cumin, yet you have neglected the more important matters, justice, mercy, faith. These things you should have been done without neglecting others. Now, he's saying, you should pay tithe. But don't neglect more important issues. Righteousness, faith, and justice. That was the opinion of Jesus to the Pharisee. Now, let's now come to the new creation. When we came under the dispensation of grace, what is the focus? What is the understanding? What do we understand? How should a believer pay tithe in the new creation church? Should he pay offering according as it was done in the Old Testament? Should a new creation believer pay tithe and offering? This is the real issue. This is what is causing controversy. Why so many fathers of faith have been insulted. So many people in church have caused. There's a lot of calamity. There's a lot of commotion going on today. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to take this. Follow me gradually. I'm trying to make sure that I take it step by step so that we won't miss any part of it. Praise the Lord. Very good. Let's go to Matthew 6 and verse 24. Now, the reason I quickly want to put this as a foundation is that you should understand money. Understand what controls money. Understand the way Jesus spoke about money. Because this tithe is about money. The reason is not the tithe. The reason is money. People are giving money as tithe. So the issue is not tithe. It's the money. Now look at it. No one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money. Now, one of the reasons Jesus said this is because two gods, or let me put it this way, two masters controls human heart. This is the direct statement. It's either God himself has absolute control over your life, or mammon. The King James Version put it as mammon. He said, now, I wonder why Jesus did not use any other thing as an alternative to the real God, but he called money. Why didn't he use any other thing that controls the human mind? The way God has capacity to control the human mind, like money. Meaning, money has the capacity to completely turn you. In fact, money is one of the things that can actually test your faithfulness with God. Money is one of the things that can really prove. The Bible says, and the man, the Bible called him a rich man in Mark chapter 10. He walked up to Jesus and said, Master, you are a good person. He said, Jesus called him. He said, don't call me good. He knew the mindset he was coming with. He said, don't call me good. He said, only God is good. He now said to him, he said, what can a man do? You hear pride from that statement. What can a man do? Like, how much can I pay to get into the kingdom? Jesus now told him, he said, no. He said, you know the law. He said, I have fulfilled all the law. You know him is a liar. Because the Bible says, no one except Christ. He said, all the law I have kept. From there, you know he's lying. Jesus now said, okay. Jesus saw another God in his heart. He said, okay, do you know what you do? You really want to serve God? You want to follow? You want to enter into the kingdom? Go and sell all your possessions. When you sell your property, what do you get? Jesus was trying to do something to destroy the God of mammon in his heart. The Bible said, the first thing the Bible said was that Jesus loved him. This man really, and I was okay, sell everything and share to the poor. The Bible said, and the man became very sad. It means he did not really love God. The money, the treasure was so much unheard. It was his money was his God. And the Bible said he turned away, he turned his back onto Christ, and we never heard about him again. The power of money. Now, when Jesus made mention of mammon and God, I want you to see this thing deeper than the peripheral and shallow talks about tithing, giving, donation. I want us to go deeper into spiritual truths and issues. It means Jesus was trying to check the God in his heart, which is money. It means a true test. If a true test should be conducted on any man, about his devotion to God, collect his money or ask him to give his money. Now, in the Old Testament, they practice it. 10% means set apart and holy unto the Lord. It means the ones we have set apart and we have given as holy unto the Lord. It was for them to, for them, it was a requirement. They must do it. It's a regulation. Now, what did Apostle Paul, we have seen what Jesus talked about money and what he said about tithe. What did the apostles in the early church did about money? How did they address money? Now, before I go into that, I want us to look at certain scriptures in the Synoptic Gospel. I'm going to quote the scriptures because of time. Then we can go home and, you know, look into them. Mark chapter 14 talks about a woman who came to Jesus. The Bible says, and she had an encounter with Jesus and she fell in love. The Bible says, and she went home and brought an alabaster box. The Bible says she broke the box as she was pouring the perfume on Jesus. Judas, who was the treasurer of Jesus, shouted and said, "What a waste!" Now, the disciples and every other person around it saw it as a waste. But for the woman, it was a worship. The Bible says, and she went home and brought the alabaster box. When an evaluation was done on the cost of the alabaster box, the Bible said the alabaster box is worth annual salary of a labor. Now, annual salary means the salary you collected from January to December put together was what the woman poured. They now made a statement like people are making today. All this money should go to poor people. They now said, why are you wasting this on Jesus? You should have sold this and go and give to the poor. Jesus now said, you have always have poor people. Poor people have always been around you and they will always be around you. Now listen to me. The reason I'm being this is because everything that has happened before, he said, if you study the scripture very well, there is no new thing happening. The criticism, the attacks, there is nothing. I was reading Kenneth Hagin's book. Kenneth Hagin says something. He said, the issue and controversy about tithing in 1940 and 1930 was a big issue in the church. One of the issues I'm going to address now. In those churches then, they believe, in fact, they take tithe every week because in America, they do weekly payment, not monthly payment. So, they take tithe. And all the tithe goes to the pastor of the church. So, there was big controversy. Some people took this issue to an extreme, believe that any tithe collected should go to a pastor. Now, in the Leviticus, when they collect tithe, I told you they take three tithes of tithe. Every tithe the other 12 tribes brings, they bring it and give it to the Levites. And so the Levite collects everything. He owns it. Both tithe and first fruit. But in the new creation, we can't say like that. Because the Bible says God has made us ourselves to become priests. Everybody is a priest. He said, ye are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We are all priests. So you can't say the way the old tithe goes to the Levite, in this same new creation church, all tithes or all income should go to a pastor. No. Reason is this. There are so many other things to be taken care of. Then, they don't run on generator. They don't have any issue to build. All that they need to take care of is the Levite. Today, there are lay pastors. Lay pastors are people who work, earn salary, and still pastor a church. There are full-time pastors who depend on salary from the church. And that does not leave it out that the church should not take care of ministers in the new creation. If you read 1 Timothy chapter 5, is it 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17? Talks about taking care of ministers. Give me 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 quickly. 1 Timothy 5, 17 quickly. Make it fast. Make it fast. Make it fast. I have a lot to say today. Yes.
Especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching.
Yes.
For the scripture says, never tie up the mouth of an horse when it is treading out the grain.
Yes.
Let him eat at his goats alone.
Yes.
And in another place, those who work deserve their pay.
Shout hallelujah. Now, time will not permit us to go into Corinthians and all that, where Paul talk about, he said, those who serve in the temple should eat from the temple. Now, the reason I'm telling us is I want us to be very careful. When people go on social media to criticize minister of God, please don't join them. Especially any issue that has to be a controversial issue. Be careful. Why? It is stated you are not wiser than God that says when somebody labors, if he serves in the temple, he should eat from the temple. He said in Galatians chapter 6, he said those who are taught the word should communicate back to them who teach them immaterial things. I've taught these things before. They are not new to your hearings. And so when you see people, you know, one of the pain I have today is when you take somebody like the figure of Baba Adeboye and start insulting. I see
Don't you see that the phrase, I don't see him as a believer. And for a believer to follow him and start criticizing, you, if you know what these people have gone through in life, our mouth is not fit to criticize. Listen to me. And when you want to criticize, do it. The Bible says, we should, he said, do not rebuke an elder. Somewhere in Timothy, he said, entreat. Egba agba niyanju, entreat. There is no place where the Bible permits you. Elders, most of where the Bible talks about elders, where Paul talked about elders, he was talking about ministers. If you read that in another version, he talks about elders in another version, where he just read now. You have no rights. It's in the body of Christ I see people bastardize me. You can't see that in Islam. It's not that they don't have issues. People attack ministers. Please. Why? One day you will find yourself in the same shoe. Pastor Gideon was telling me. He said, do you know why? He said, CNS is one of the persons that God is using to build the university. Do you know for how many years now we've been trying to build university? He said he sat down one day and God brought to his mind. He said, do you know why this struggle? He said, when people were doing it, people that I sent, the church criticized them. CNS was one of the people that were criticizing people building university. Now, almost 20 years, we are struggling to build one. Be careful, because one day, until you find yourself in their shoes, there are things you can't explain until you find yourself in the shoes. And that's why anywhere the Bible is quiet, you should be quiet as a believer. Don't put yourself in trouble. Don't put yourself in trouble. Be careful. Be careful. Because this, you like it or not, God has called these people. Now, there's no doubt that there are ministers mismanaging church funds. That is true. Many ministers have abused that there's a prosperity in the church, and so they use church fund for some other things. But it does not mean that all of them are doing it. It's not all pastors. It's not all ministers that eat church tithe or eat church money. So for you to go on social media and join people and say, all these pastors that are eating tithe, you are going into error. Because the truth is this, there are true ministers till tomorrow who spend their own life and money. If they will come and calculate to you how much they spend from there, they have spent their life, they have spent their money, they have spent their resources to make the church grow. Be careful. Especially fathers of faith. Listen to me. There's no doubt that God has used these people to bless us. Somebody like Baba Adeboye, I don't care what anybody says. I respect him till tomorrow. I will never join anybody to say anything on the social media about him. Never. I would rather pray. Listen to me. What the Bible talks about correcting a believer is, first of all, pray. The time you spend chatting, making messages, if you spend that time ministering in prayer for them, their life would have been better. But we are easy to talk, easy to criticize. Now, something I want to quickly bring up is this. Abuses in tithes and offering. People have abused it. Number one, people have said in some churches, it is a prerequisite to become a member. If you don't pay, that's why they have tithe card. If you are not paying tithe, you can never, the way Pastor Tunde teach membership class, one of the things to in some churches to become a full member is that you first pay tithe to an estate. So in some churches, it is a prerequisite to become a title owner. In fact, if they want to give tithe, they will say, go and bring your tithe card. These are abuses. In the new creation, we don't give money. We don't give tithe. We don't give offering to be blessed. We give because we are blessed. It is an acknowledgement. It is not a requirement. It's an acknowledgement. The way Abraham acknowledged the blessing and gave. In the New Testament, when you give, you don't give to be blessed. You give because you are blessed. Nobody give. Now, to them, in the Old Testament, is a statute. Statute means regulation. Laws. To us, it is not. It is a faith response to the love of God when you give. That's why the Bible talks about cheerful giving. Say, when you give, let it come from there. There's this scripture where it talks about, he said, according to each person's capacity, he should give. So for us, tithing should not be a statue. It should be a starting point. In fact, when you want to teach tithing, you should start teaching to new converts. And say, okay, if you want to start giving to God, maybe you can start from 10% as those who did not know Christ started.
Because the Bible talks about Acts chapter 2, I think from verse 42 or 44 or thereabout. The Bible says, in the new creation church, the early church, this was what they did. They went the way that woman did and brought a whole salary and put it on Jesus. The Bible says they sold all their possession and brought the money to the apostles' feet. That is beyond tithing. Now, if anybody is arguing that God said we should not pay tithe, that no, we are not under the law, we are not under the law, we should not pay tithe, we should not pay offering. Just like Malachi said, he talked about tithe and offering. So it means we should not even pay offering. So if you are arguing that, okay, if you want to practice the way the disciples or the early church, how many believers can we start? Only few. And it is in churches that people are practicing this that you see prosperity. How can a church build a university based only on tithe? People sold their properties many years ago. The church I grew up in, Kano, we're planning to move out and build a church. We're having issue with the modern church. And I told them something by the Holy Ghost. I knew that did not come from me. I was the youngest among the members of the committee. They were saying, how do we get money now? And I said, there are people seated here who have 3, 4, 5 cars. There are people seated here who have 2 houses. I said, is it too much to sell 1 car? And said, I give this. Let's build church. I said, the people doing it in less than 2-3 years, they did sacrificial giving. They were not talking without doing. All of them, that they kept quiet. And up till now, they are still in that church. Up till now. I said, they have sent them out. When did that happen? Last week. 20 years. They celebrated 20 something years. Last 20 years. I went there. That day I spoke. I said, you are talking about building. I said, there are people here who have 2-3 houses, which I know. They have 3 cars. I said, can't you say I give this car? People gave cars, gave houses. Nobody hear about it. You pay tithe and you are asking that church to investigate how they spend. This is what giving should be in the new creation church. Nobody is forcing you. Abraham was not asked to pay tithe. It was a willing giving. Jacob made vow. I will give 10% of everything. He didn't pay. Although God bless him, because God did not require that to pay. God did not even tell him, I was going to bless you if you give tithe. Now, most often, according to Malachi, because many of us have been taught from Malachi, tithing, you have the understanding of tithe from Malachi. Raise up your hand. When you were growing up, when the first time you heard about tithe, I want a witness, was in Malachi. Thank you very much. I love witness. Now, because of that information you got from Malachi, most of you gave tithes to your fear. You didn't give to God. You tithed not because you appreciate what Christ did on the cross. You tithed because you were scared of the devourer. If anything happened, you remember me. Especially when you lost money. God doesn't take that from you. Or something happened, or maybe they steal your phone. And you now calculate the value of that phone and calculate the tithe. And oh, bossy, they 30,000, phone 30,000, 2K4. Now, that was so. When you came bringing tithe, it was not a cheerful giving. You wasted your money. Now, let me tell you this. The Bible says, when you don't pay tithe in the new creation church, you are not cursed. I've said that again and again. You are not cursed. But listen to me. All the principles of financial prosperity under the law was based on their practice, what they do. And so if they don't do it, they are not blessed. So if you are not blessed, you are either blessed or you are cursed. Now, in the new creation church, when you came into Christ, no curse came into Christ with you. No curse, no single curse came into Christ with you. So if you don't pay tithe, you don't have the curse of Malachi. But can I talk to you? The work of Jesus does not invalidate the blessings in the principle of the old covenant. That's why up to today, you pronounce psalms of blessing upon yourself. You claim the blessings in the Old Testament. What Jesus deleted was the curse. The blessing is still intact.